olo e mafuta male SBS Samoan.
Dr. Bruce Willett, thanks for joining us. Welcome to the program.
Thank you. Thanks for having me along.
Now, I guess there are no safer alternatives to cigarette smoking and vaping than to just quit for good. But you're condoning some kind of vaping with a doctor's prescription. Why is that?
Oh, so quitting for good is definitely the way to go, and that's really where we need to start and finish the discussion. So vapes have been proposed as a way of helping people quit, but it's worth noting that they're very much a second-line treatment, and some doctors would actually say that they shouldn't be used at all while there are safer alternatives. But there are some people who have failed in other ways to quit smoking, and find vaping a useful way to do that. I guess the important thing, though, is to come back to the fact that there's been this misconception built up that vaping is safe, and we know that it absolutely is not safe, that, you know, many of the chemicals in it are harmful. So, yes, you're right. The best thing is to stop completely.
Right. So you are condoning it to a degree where it's part of a treatment to quit. Would that be right?
Yeah, so it is considered what we call a second-line treatment in helping people quit. So there are actually, it's really important to come back to that fact that there are safer ways of quitting. There are, you know, patches and gums and all sorts of other medications that have a longer use, more researched, and are a safer way to do that. But, you know, it is possible to use it to quit if you haven't managed to quit using those other methods. So it's what we call a second line treatment, and many would suggest a third or a fourth line treatment.
Now, you've mentioned some dangerous chemicals in e-cigarettes. Whenever there's a black market of any product, there's a risk of lack of controls, no controls on the contents of such a product. Now, the black market in e-cigarettes, would you say that some people are running the risk of inhaling into their lungs chemicals they're not aware of? Or, you know, are you aware of any such chemicals?
Yeah, well, look, I think that's exactly right. And I think that's why the government has rightly decided to clamp down on the importation of these products. If you buy them on the black market, you absolutely do not know what's in them, and you run the risk of all sorts of harmful chemicals being in there, some of which are known and some of which are unknown, which is a big part of the problem. The TDA did a study into vapes that advertised as not containing nicotine, and found that the vast majority of them, 190 out of 214, did actually contain addictive substances. So I think that makes your point that if you buy these things on the black market, you know, you are putting your health at risk because you just don't know what you're putting into your body.
In the 70s, the 1970s, cigarette companies sponsored main sporting events, you know, like the old Winfield Cup in the NRL, in rugby league. Now, we know that rugby league, the NRL, is thriving without tobacco money. Is vaping the new strategy, you know, where tobacco companies are now trying to make smoking cool and attract another generation of smokers?
It certainly seems like that. It certainly seems like the big tobacco has moved its strategy towards big vaping. And we do know that they have particularly marketed towards young people, particularly young adults. 32%, so basically a third of teens between 14 and 17 have used vaping products. So definitely trying to cultivate a market for the future. And I think it's wise that we head that off before that has time to cause, you know, major problems in generations to come. So this is a move that's well welcomed by GPs and one that we've been, promoting for some time. So it's good news, I think, for the health of this nation.
Run us a list of respiratory and other illnesses caused directly by smoking and vaping.
So, look, we do know that they can contribute to lung disease, like chronic lung disease, things like COPD, which is essentially chronic pulmonary disease, it can worsen things like asthma. There are concerns that some of the chemicals in these products are carcinogenic and may lead to cancer down the track. One of the issues is that we're still in early days with these products. It's like smoking before the 60s, to go back to your analogy. So we actually don't know the full extent to which these products are harmful, and that's a big part of the problem.
Are there any sections of the community that are more susceptible to respiratory illnesses through smoking and vaping? For example, First Nations people, the Indigenous communities, Pacific Islanders, Asians?
Yeah, so we do know that the damage caused by smoking is more significant, particularly in First Nations people, partly because the smoking rates are higher. And we also know that people with mental illnesses have very high rates of smoking and vaping, and it's a huge problem there, and really contributes to a big gap in life expectancy for both of those groups, for First Nations people and people with mental illnesses. Both have huge life expectancy gaps, and both of those are things that we need to address in this country. So the big problems in both of those communities, and of course, going back to young people, obviously the earlier that you start this vaping, the more time it has to do damage, and we do know that those effects are cumulative, and young lungs are more vulnerable. And it's unfortunate that these products do appear to be targeted to young people. I'd suggest that, a bubble gum flavoured, rainbow unicorn vaping product is not aimed at you and me as the primary market to be selling to. I think it's probably, young people.
Some are talking up the billions of dollars made from or collected from taxes on tobacco and vaping products. Now, would I be right in suggesting that amount would be far outweighed by the cost of treating illnesses caused by smoking and vaping?
Absolutely. So we do know that these conditions cause, death, but not just death. And sometimes, I would suggest that certainly with smoking, that death isn't even the worst outcome. We see people struggling with conditions like emphysema, which are just dreadful to live with. They're just horrible conditions. And they're chronic illnesses that need treatments for long periods of time. So it costs the community a lot of money to support those people, and we should support those people. But I think you're absolutely right. The amount collected in taxes does not cover the cost of the damage that these products wreak on people's lives.
So besides saving thousands of dollars a year, run us the main benefits besides saving a lot of money of just quitting.
Yeah, look, I think the main benefit is not the money saved. It's the health outcomes. It's that people will live longer, but more importantly, live better lives without the ill effects of these products.
And being able to breathe the air. Dr. Bruce Willett, thank you so much for taking time out to talk to us.
Hey, thank you for the opportunity to talk, and you have a great day, and all your listeners too.
Like, share, mafa'ali sa finangalo, muli-muli ile SBS Samoan ile Facebook.